So let me just sh share my screen out here.
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay, thank you, Finney. All right, one more thing I need to finish. Okay. So last week, we were looking at the attributes of God. We were looking specifically at the attribute of God's faithfulness, and we heard how it guarantees the fulfillment of all his promises and the assurance of his salvation through his word. Today, the attribute of God that we are going to consider is regarding his long-suffering, or how he is slow to lose patience. So what does the long-suffering of God actually mean? The long-suffering of God is his willingness and his ability to show restraint and self-control in dealing with human sin and human rebellion. If God wanted, he could instantly judge sin. And in special cases, he has done so. For example, when Adam and Eve disobeyed God and sinned in the Garden of Eden after eating the forbidden fruit, they were immediately banished from Eden. They were not even given a second chance. They were told specifically that the day that they would eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, they would surely die. But there, we also see that because of God's grace and long-suffering, their physical deaths were postponed. We read in Genesis chapter 5 that Adam lived 930 years before he died, which is a very long lifespan. So our God is sovereign over the entire universe, and surely he would be justified in punishing all sin on the spot, because he is a holy God. Yet we see throughout the scriptures and throughout human history that God has endured human wickedness with amazing forbearance and patience. Now, let's look at a few instances where we can gain some more insight into God's attribute of long-suffering. We recount in Genesis chapter 6 that during the time of Noah, God observed that the extent of human wickedness on the earth, and he saw that everything regarding the inclination of their thoughts and what they imagined was consistently and totally evil. And we read that it grieved God and it broke his heart. Yet during this time, God chose a righteous man by the name of Noah. And we read that Noah walked in close fellowship with the Lord. And God waited patiently for over 100 years before he sent the flood to destroy the rest of humanity apart from Noah and his family. We read of this account in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 20, where it says, "Who once were disobedient when the patience of God kept waiting in the days of Noah during the construction of the ark, in which a few, that is 8 persons, were brought safely through the water." So God held back divine judgment for over 100 years while the ark was being constructed. But within those intervening years, God gave the people time to repent. Yet their hearts were hardened in disobedience and unbelief. And when their time finally ran out, God executed his judgment and cleansed the earth by sending the flood. Another instance where we see God's display of long-suffering and patience is in his relationship with the people of Israel. Unlike during Noah's time, where God waited patiently over 100 years before actually sending the flood, in the case of Israel, God's long-suffering towards that nation lasted for over 1,500 years. And during this period of time, the nation of Israel tested God's patience on many, many occasions. Last month in our session on the attribute of God's goodness, we had discussed how the nation of Israel, in spite of witnessing so many miracles and wonders that the Lord did for them in Egypt and the Red Sea, they quickly turned away from the path that the Lord God had commanded them to keep. Instead, when Noah was at Mount Sinai receiving the law from God's hand, the people wanted to erect a golden calf, and they wanted to worship and bow down to it. So it was an inexcusable act that the nation of Israel had displayed against God. And as a result, we see in Exodus chapter 32, the fierce anger of the Lord. Let's look at that in Exodus chapter 32 and verses 9 and 10. And the Lord said to Moses, I have seen this people, and indeed it is a stiff-necked people. Now therefore, let me alone, that my wrath may burn hot against them, and I may consume them, and I will make of you a great nation. So we see here that the nation of Israel had tried God's patience. It had reached a breaking point, and just as we saw in the case of Noah, God was planning to destroy them and start afresh with Moses and make his descendants into a great nation. But we read later how God relented in his judgment and instead displayed his long suffering after Moses pleaded with the Lord to spare Israel and reminded him of the promises that were made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And we see the word long-suffering is mentioned in the Bible when the glory of God passes before Moses as he descends Mount Sinai. We read of this account in Exodus chapter 34 and verse 6. It says, and the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generation. This passage we just read is one of the most important theological texts in the scripture, because it is the first instance we see in the Bible where God actually described himself, listing his glorious attributes. Previously, God began his self-revelation to Moses at the burning bush, where he pronounced himself as the great I am. And here in this passage, God goes even further and describes himself as merciful, gracious, long-suffering, and abounding in goodness and truth. And this self-description of God has been referenced several times in the Old Testament. And I've listed a few of them here. In Nehemiah chapter 9 and verse 17, we read, but you are God, ready to pardon, gracious and merciful, slow to anger, abundant in kindness. In Psalms chapter 145 and verse 8, we read, the Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and great in mercy. And then in Joel chapter 2 and verse 13, we read, so rend your heart, and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and he relents from doing harm. So the number of occurrences of this description of God in the Old Testament signifies the importance of this passage in Exodus chapter 34 as a foundational statement about God, his character, and his attributes. And what I found really amazing is that this self-revelation of God to Moses at Mount Sinai occurs during one of the most spiritual low points in Israel's history. During their very first year in the wilderness, the nation of Israel began getting tired of waiting. They lost their patience, and they ended up committing the sin of idolatry and breaking their covenant with God. But on the other hand, God Almighty, merciful and gracious, abounding in goodness and truth, relented in his judgment and patiently put up with the stiff-necked and rebellious people of Israel. And we read further, and as we read further, we see that they did not learn from their mistakes. And the very next year, which was the second year of their journey in the wilderness, they provoked God again when they refused to claim the promised land that God had given to them after the 12 spies come back with their report. Again, we see that God's patience was almost exhausted. And we read that in Numbers chapter 14 and verses 11 and 12. It says, "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'How long will these people reject me? And how long will they not believe me? With all the signs which I have performed among them, I will strike them with the pestilence and disinherit them, and I will make of you a nation greater and mightier than they.'" So again, we see that God wanted to disown Israel and destroy them with a plague. And we see in verse 12 of Numbers chapter 11 that he repeats, God repeats his offer again to Moses, which was to make him and his descendants into a nation that was greater and mightier than Israel. But again, God relents, and instead he displays his long suffering after Moses pleads with the Lord to spare Israel based on his understanding of God's character. But obviously, there were consequences which Israel had to face as a result of their disobedience. And that is why those people who left Egypt and crossed the Red Sea are today called or known as the wilderness generation of Israel. That generation did not want the promised land that God was handing to them on a silver platter. Instead, they grumbled and they wanted to go back to Egypt. And so God granted their desire. And for the next 40 years of their lives, they would wander in the wilderness. 1 year for each day the spies spend in exploring the promised land. So we looked at several instances where God's long-suffering was displayed not only to the world, but also specifically to the nation of Israel. And needless to say, God wants his long-suffering and patience reproduced and demonstrated in each one of us as well. We heard in this Sunday's message how the lack of patience is one of the biggest problems in our generation today. And so God wants us to look to him and trust him when we face trials in life so that our patience and our endurance has a chance to grow. We read in Colossians chapter 1, verses 10 and 11, this, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with God, with joy. So whenever we go through trials and face difficult circumstances in our lives, God wants us to patiently endure and follow the example of Christ himself so that we can connect with him at a deeper level. The Bible also gives us several examples of people who endured with patience and long suffering, especially during times of trials and difficult circumstances. And in the remaining time we have, I want to focus quickly on one individual whose patience and faithfulness enabled him to finish strong and also allowed him to take possession of the promised land and claim the city of Hebron as his inheritance. The person I'm referring to here is Caleb, who was one of the 12 spies who was sent out by Moses to explore the land of Canaan. Now, we have to remember that these 12 spies that Moses chose were leaders of their tribes, respective tribes. And Caleb was from the tribe of Judah, which was the largest among all the tribes at that time. So after these 12 leaders or spies explore the land of Canaan and bring back their report, 10 of them, apart from Caleb and Joshua, are clearly frightened at the prospect of taking possession of the promised land. they describe these cities to be heavily fortified, and the people, and some of the people who dwell in it, as giants and also very strong. They even report that they saw the descendants of the Anakims there, who were considered to be a race of giants. In fact, the Philistine Goliath, who King David encounters in the latter part of Israel's history, is considered to be a descendant of the Anakim. So you can imagine the size of some of these inhabitants who lived there. And so the report of the 10 spies are very negative, and the people of Israel begin to grumble and complain and talk about returning back to Egypt, the very place where they were persecuted as slaves. But in contrast, Caleb and Joshua, they try to sway the Israelites with their faith. And we read this in Numbers chapter 13 and verses 30. It says, then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, we should by all means go up and take possession of it, for we will certainly prevail over it. So Caleb, at this point, is 40 years old. He's the leader of his tribe and at the prime of his life. Because of the people's rebellion and sin, they instead wander in the wilderness for the next 40 years of their lives. For no fault of his own, Caleb had to see an entire generation die before his very eyes. It is said that over 1 million people or 1 million adults perished during those 40 years in the wilderness, which could have included Caleb's siblings, his relatives, and his friends as well. Many of us, if we went through a similar experience, we would have gone easily weary, tired, and you know, lost the patience and endurance to carry on further. But not Caleb. We read about him, about Caleb again, 45 years later in the book of Joshua, when Israel is ready to take possession of the promised land under the leadership of Joshua. Let's look at that portion in Joshua chapter 14, verses 7 to 11. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought word back to him as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brothers went up with me, who went up with me, made the heart of the people melt with fear. But I followed the Lord my God fully. Verses 9. So Moses swore on that day, saying, the land on which your foot has walked shall certainly be an inheritance to you and to your children forever, because you have followed the Lord my God fully. And now behold, the Lord has let me live, just as he spoke these 45 years from the time that the Lord spoke this word to Moses when Israel walked into the wilderness. And now behold, I am 85 years old today. I am still as strong today as I was on the day Moses sent me. As my strength was then, so my strength is now for war and going out and coming in. So here is an 85-year-old man who has endured almost 45 years of wilderness, wandering with patience. He saw his whole generation pass away before his very eyes, and yet he is still as strong-minded and as determined as he was in his peak years. And just notice here where what part of the promised land 85-year-old Caleb wants to go after in his conquest. We read that in verse 12 of the same chapter. In Joshua chapter 14 and verse 12. Now then, give me this hill country which the Lord spoke on that day. For you heard on that day that Anakim were there with great fortified cities. Perhaps the Lord will be with me and I will drive them out just as the Lord has spoken. Now, given Caleb's age, he could have easily chosen to stay on the sidelines, but Instead, he wants to go after the heavily fortified cities and drive out the Anakims, the race of giants, which we saw earlier, right? And we read about his conquest in Joshua chapter 15 and verse 14. And it says, and Caleb drove out from there the three sons of Anak, Shishai, Ahiman, and Talmai, the children of Anak. What an amazing account of faith and endurance we see here from 85, who is past his prime, who is 85 years old. His patience and endurance finally paid off, and God was with Caleb. He drove out the giants, the very people who were the source of fear for Israel 45 years ago, that caused them to wander in the wilderness, and that also led a whole generation to perish there in the wilderness. But Caleb waited patiently those 45 years in the wilderness, and his faith in the promise of God never diminished. We see three sources in the Bible giving a testimony about Caleb. One is from Moses, which we read in Joshua chapter 14 and verse 9. It says, so Moses swore on that day, saying, the land on your foot has walked, on which your foot has walked, shall certainly be an inheritance to you and to your children forever, because you have followed the Lord my God fully. In the same chapter, verse 14, Joshua, the new leader of Israel, also acknowledges this. We read in Joshua chapter 14 and verse 14, therefore Hebron became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, to this day, because he followed the Lord God of Israel fully. And finally, we have God Almighty stating the same fact in Numbers chapter 14 and verse 24. It says, but as for my servant Caleb, because he has had a different spirit and has followed me fully, I will bring him into the land which he entered, and his descendants shall take possession of it. What an amazing testimony of a man who indeed fully, not partially, but fully followed the Lord. Caleb is a great example for us to follow as we endure the trials and tribulations in life. And so in closing, I like to end with these thoughts, which is that God wants to see his long-suffering and patience reproduced and demonstrated in each one of us. And he wants us to display a conquering patience, as we read earlier in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 11, where we read that we may be strengthened with all might according to his glorious power for all patience and long-suffering with joy. So as we go into a time of prayer, maybe consider and reflect on these communicable attributes of God and strive to become imitators of Christ. May his name be glorified.